Okay, if you would turn to Psalm 85. The Lord just quickened something to me a moment ago when we were singing. Something happened today that was pretty cool. And while we were singing, the Holy Spirit brought it back to my mind, what happened today. And I could sense Him saying to me, that needs to happen to all of us frequently. And so I'll share what happened today. Today, Bo and I had the privilege of praying with a brother. He had to be a pastor, coming in for some ministry, some deliverance ministry. He'd been here a couple other times, and he's a very humble man, very meek. And I always respect a man that's a pastor that'll go to another ministry and seek help. Amen? How rare that is. In fact, at the end, after we ministered to him today, I really affirmed him for that. I said, the Lord's really honoring you that you came here and humbled yourself and came to a ministry where we move in deliverance. How many pastors are far too proud to go and ask for prayer and ask for help and go their merry way? And then they're in environments where, everybody puts them up on a pedestal and they have to always have it together, and there's not a place where they can just be real. So anyway, this brother came, and so the way we always start ministry here with folks is we begin by praying. So we just began to pray and sing in the Spirit. Just sing in tongues. Wait on the Lord, before we minister to Him. Got real still. Sometimes the only way to get still is sing in tongues. How many of y'all know that? Our mind is often going and blowing about this, that, and the other. And so it's really important we get still. Then we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, in a way, I'm trying to help this pastor. He wants to move in deliverance. And there are so many ministries out there that are in balance. I was trying to teach him the balance of how to wait on the Spirit and really move in the Spirit in deliverance. And not just that the actual casting out of the demon is frankly just a little part of the whole ministry. It's all about dealing with the root, the ground, dealing with the sin and the issues. So anyway, we waited and just got still. Waited on the Lord. And got real still in the room and had a vision. Wasn't any particularly profound vision, but I just saw this scene from when I was a kid of a neighbor's yard. When we got real still. And a certain angle from my next door neighbor's yard. So I just had a flash of that while we were praying. Has that ever happened to you? You're praying or you get still and you see something from your past, from your childhood, and it doesn't seem to make any sense? Has that ever happened? Well, what I've learned, and this is really important to understand, that when you call on the name of Jesus and you worship Him and you wait on Him, He will come to you and speak to you. But a lot of times we don't understand His language. He's speaking to us and we're not understanding that's God. That was God just now that spoke to me. That was God's voice. God is trying to communicate truth to me. And because we're expecting Him to speak audibly, or maybe not audibly, but we expect Him to be real crystal clear. How many of y'all sometimes expect, honestly, the Lord, when He speaks, it to be real clear? You know, he doesn't speak clear. Sometimes speaks in a riddle. Remember, even Jesus spoke in parables. Okay, so it's not always clear. Sometimes it's symbolic, symptomatic. But what I've learned over the years, particularly I found when I'm praying with someone, and someone's there to pray, and it's not just like sitting in a chair and having a quiet time. I'm sitting there praying before we minister to someone. Okay? Someone's there for us to minister to. We're praying and singing in the Spirit, and we get still. If God wants to do any kind of ministry, I want to be led of the Spirit. Frankly, I found that my ministry is as effective as I'm able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Up to that, no further. Otherwise, it's soulish. And how often and how tempting it is to get soulish with people. You know, just start offering counsel and advice. To me, that don't work. How many of you have gotten counsel and advice, and then about 2 days later, you forgot it, what it was? Anybody? Are you left? You said, yeah, that's good counsel. That's good advice. I'm going to do that. I'll write it down. A week later, you can't even find the piece of paper you wrote it down on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I really believe counsel and advice in a lot of instances is pretty worthless. Unless it's anointed of the Holy Ghost. Now, counsel and advice can be valid if it's got the Holy Ghost on it. Amen? Because if the Holy Ghost is on it, it sticks. It's real. It's the rhema word. It's alive. It's quickened word. It goes into your spirit, not your mind. God never intended us to live from the mind. Okay? Never. Y'all know the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your what? Anyway, I saw this scene. It was a particular slant from a neighbor's yard. Next door neighbor's yard in my home in New Orleans when I was a kid. I mean, like when I was 10. So, I asked the Lord. In my mind, I thought, Lord, what's that mean? Because I've learned when I'm still, I don't conjure these things. I didn't just, with my brain, dig up that. That came to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me almost immediately. He reminded me of something that particular backyard of my neighbor situation. It reminded me of some event when I childhood that occurred. And I went, oh. And as soon as my brain went there, it was like the Holy Ghost grabbed my thoughts and began to take them and said, now, what he said was, that fella sitting in front of you, that one you're going to pray for, he has issues in his life that ties into what you just saw. I went, cool. So I waited a few more minutes. I'm going to just keep being still, see if he had anything else to say. And he didn't. So then I said, well, brother, I just had kind of a flash vision, and I shared what I saw. And I said, I perceive that the Lord is saying there's a deep, deep root issue in your life in this particular area. And he hung his head. Bingo. Bingo. Now, the rest of our time together was focused on that. And it culminated in significant deliverance. I mean, roll up your sleeves, serious deliverance. You know, I mean, out of there deliverance, right? Bo was there. It was good old new wine deliverance. But upon reflecting of that, frankly, the deliverance only came about an hour later, 45 minutes later, because there was a deception in his brain that had been there since he was a little kid, a deception about God, a theological deception about the nature of God that was in his brain since he was a little kid. He was a pastor. So the Holy Spirit came in the room with words of wisdom, and we were able to, it's very simple, just to help him. And you know, a lot of times our conception of God has to do with our experience. We have some experience in our childhood, and we project our perception of God based upon our experience. Well, he saw that. He saw that he saw God, the nature of God, based upon something that had happened when he was a little kid, about 7 or 8 years old. And so I began to explain to him, brother, you have to separate that. This is the truth of God in God's word. Period. Apart from experience. And that you base it, you look at reality that God's word is true. The nature of God is the way it is in the word. God is good, period. Now, in fact, keep your finger there, but look at Deuteronomy 32. This is the scripture that the Lord quickened to me. Verse 4. This is like, I like this verse because it talks about a rock, and this is a rock verse. It says, he is the rock, Deuteronomy 32:4. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, how many of y'all believe that about God? That God is always good, always true, always right, never, ever did anything wrong, ever. If we ever indict God or somehow believe God's missed it, or we're blaming God for something that happened, a mishap in our lives, then you know you have immediately, in a fundamental sense, have a crack in your foundation and open the door to the devil. Because the truth is, God's without iniquity. God is good always in all places, and everything that happened is not because God caused some evil. So we have to explain this to this brother. And it's not like, he's a pastor, it's not like he's seen it, but you know how sometimes you hear it from another angle and little lights on it, and something flipped in his mind and he saw it. He said, you know, I see that. I have bought a lie all my life. I've always had this deep, deep doubt that when the chips are down and everything was down, is God really going to come through? I said, oh, like underneath of the everlasting arms, but once in a while he pulls them back. So we assured him, brother, God is faithful. God is good. God will never fail you. And when he saw that, it's like a light bulb went off in his head. And at that point in the spirit realm, the entire demonic structure that had held this brother's sway for almost 30 years was unhinged. Just unhinged. The devil lost his footing, his ground, his hook. Because truth got in the inward parts. And his mind embraced the truth, and he saw the lie. I said, now you go to Jesus. And he humbled himself, and he said, Jesus, forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for judging you. Forgive me defaulting, believing that you won't be faithful. Lord, forgive me. I do choose to believe you are good, and you, and all things that have ever come that are evil are not from your hand. They're because of a fallen world and fallen men and my bad choices. Amen. I shared with you, I said, let me tell you something about God. God is a redeemer. He's not a preventer. A lot of people don't understand that. He's not a preventer. He's a redeemer. Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. It's a fallen world. The prince of the power of the air, there's a demon power that rules over the world. He sets traps and snares and wiles of the devil to seduce and deceive, and to somehow blame stuff on God is really misunderstanding. So the point I wanted to make tonight was what happened was, and I got still, the Holy Ghost spoke to me a word of knowledge. All right, y'all know what a word of knowledge is? In 1 Corinthians 12, we're told there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, miracles, faith, and word of knowledge. Healing, And these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And he gives the gifts of the Spirit for reasons. He doesn't just give us a gift or a word of knowledge just to titillate us, just to say, oh, cool. There's always a reason. Yeah. If you have a need, the Holy Spirit will give you knowledge and understanding and wisdom if you have need. The problem is, a lot of times he gives it to us and we're not connecting the dots. We're not reading. We're not understanding. That is the voice of the Spirit speaking to me right now. God is speaking to me right now. That is his word to me. If I will seek him and ask him what it means, it will extricate me from whatever I'm in. Or it'll solve the problem of what I'm pursuing. How many of y'all believe God speaks a whole lot more than we hear? Let's go back to Psalm 85, where we were. Verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak what? Unto his people and to his saints. How do your versions read the next part of that verse? Let them what? Let them not turn back to folly. Now, what could that mean? He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace, but let them not turn back to folly. You know what the biggest folly is, I believe, of all? It's unbelief. That God is speaking. It's his voice. He's trying to give us direction. Like in Isaiah 30, says, you hear the word saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. But we turn to folly. We don't believe it. We blow it up. We're too caught up in our own thoughts, agendas, pursuits, prejudices, to stop, get still and listen, and hear his voice. And it's so easy to do when you have a soulless life. When you live life from the mind and the emotions all day long, it's very easy to just run right over, ramrod right over what God is trying to say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I think our worst enemy in life is not necessarily the demons or the sin. It's our own soulish mind. It's just we get going on a thing and we just roll and go and we don't stop and get still and hear his voice. It's really our safeguard to slow down and hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Person that really is submitted to Jesus not only hears, but they understand. That's his voice. He's speaking to me. He's giving me direction on what to do to keep me out of trouble, to warn me of things to come. It says that in John 16, the Spirit will come to show you things to come. He will show you what's coming. Has that ever happened? The Holy Spirit shows you something that's coming down the line and you kind of ignored it. You didn't have time for it, didn't heed it. And whammo, you ran into a wall and stuff happened. And then the Lord reminds you, I was trying to talk to you. Anybody? I really believe a fundamental issue in regard to ministry, in regard to our personal life, is we just don't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. That he is really speaking. I just know I've done enough ministry for a long enough time with enough people that come through here. I just hate helping somebody from the soul. It's boring to me. You know? Offering advice. Counsel on you need to this and you don't need to that. You know, there's lots of books you can get. Self-help books, which you need to not need to do. You know, do you know how big the self-help industry is? You know what people are looking for is the real thing. The voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm convinced there's only one way you can hear the Holy Spirit. Is you got to be still. You got to get quiet. Do y'all remember, Seth, what kind of, how does the Holy Spirit manifest himself? Where is that in the scripture? John 3? No, is it John 3? John 1? John 1, 32? And John bare record, said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. We've been kidding a lot about doves in the house lately. What is the characteristic of a bird like a dove? Have y'all ever been near a dove? One day I was sitting not from my house when I lived in the East End, and I was in this field, and there was a big lamp. It was a kind of football field, and there was a lamppost, and I was sitting on the concrete and bat thing around the lamppost, and there were a bunch of seagulls all around me. And I was having a quiet time, and I'll never forget, the Holy Ghost taught me something that day. And I was thinking, well, I guess this is kind of like a dove. It's a bird. Has wings. But I noticed that if I got real still, the little seagulls would come right up to my feet. They were just pecking around in the gravel. And as long as I was real still, the gulls, but as soon as I began to move, and at any sudden, I freaked out and backed off. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's how I am. You know how it says, but let them not turn again to folly? Do you know how easy it is to quench the Holy Spirit? Have y'all ever quenched the Holy Spirit? You know what that means? In fact, let's look at that, Ephesians 4. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? That's really what he's saying in Psalm 85. Let them not turn again to folly. I'll hear what God the Lord speaks, speak unto peace. His voice is peace, but not quench. He tells us right here, 29 verse 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing that quenches the Holy Spirit is words out of our mouth. Things we say. Thoughts we think. Things we do quench the Holy Spirit. Think the thing about Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. Now think about it. The Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. The bird landed on him. Now, if you had a dove sitting on your shoulder and you wanted it to remain there, what do you do not need to do? You need to be very gentle, right? Walk in a certain way so it doesn't quench and fly away. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I believe a lot of times we don't hear him as we just don't get still. Even in our quiet times, it's all kind of a monologue. You know, we have a quiet time, and we start just talking to God about our needs. Or we're praying about, and that's valid, that's fine. You talk about God, about other people's needs. Pray for people. And maybe you read the Word, and you talk about this, and you tell him, I need this, and please help me here, and please da-da-da-da-da. And then you look at your watch, there, I'm done my hour. You put your little ticket in the machine, you've done your hour, half hour, and now I'm on my way. Got that God thing done. Now I can do my thing. Now come on. I think sometimes we get there. And the Lord sits there and says, you really got some stuff coming down on your head today, it would have behooved you to get still and listen to me. But you wouldn't listen. So I guess you're going to have to hear it some other way. I really believe that Scripture says, give us this day our daily bread. That the Holy Ghost has a word for us every morning for the day. You know how they would pick up the manna for the day? Jesus said, be not anxious for the morrow, for sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. In other words, every day the Holy Ghost has a word for us for that day. Now, he may give us revelation about things to come beyond the day. But generally, he's going to quicken things of the day. How many of us in the morning get still and say, Lord, what do you have for today? What's coming down today? Is there an attack? Does the enemy have some snare out there? Is this the evil day? You know how he says, standing, having done all in the day, in the evil day? Is this one of those evil days when the enemy is going to pull his snares on me? What is going on today, Jesus? I really believe that's a valid question to ask. Lord, do you have a revelation for today? I need light for today. Thy word is a lamp under my feet, a light what? He was sure, you know what that means? Is just enough light for the next couple of steps. But again, I think the problem is we just don't dial down in here. We have a lot of folks come in here looking for ministry, and we'll pray for them in the back, behind the scenes. And we'll find out they've been to ministry after ministry looking for help, and they're getting a lot of head counseling and psychological well-meaning from people who love the Lord. But it's ungodly counsel because it's not bearing fruit. How do you know it's from the Lord? Look at the fruit. Is it setting you free? Are you free? If you're still in bondage, it's likely it ain't from the Holy Ghost. Because I don't ever remember Jesus ministering to anybody and them being in more bondage when he was done. Do you? It was always kind of, he would touch them and they'd be healed. He'd speak to them, they'd be free. But there's people today, they go to church, they come out, they're more bound up than when they went in. Or they go to counseling, they're more confused. Something happened about 125, maybe 150 years ago. There was a new religion born. It's not called a religion, but it is a religion. And it's called psychology. And the poison of psychology has reached into every sphere and aspect of the Christian world today. But it is a poison because it's soulless. The very word psychology comes from the Greek word psyche, which means soul. And Jesus said, unless you lose your soul, you cannot find it. The soul is the demonized part of our life. There is no salvation in the soul. Except a man be born, Jesus, of the Spirit. There's something called the gifts of the Spirit. God is Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him how? In Spirit. And truth. It all comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's extremely difficult for a soulless man to understand how to get in the Spirit. It's very simple to do, but it's difficult for him to understand how to do it. Because it means he needs to depart totally from the soul, listen to this, and become like a little child. Like a helpless child. And recognize I have nothing to offer other than what the Holy Ghost gives me. In fact, John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from heaven. It's got to come from God. Only God can set the captive free. So my job when I'm sitting with someone ministering deliverance or anything is dialing in, getting still, tuning in, You ever been out in the country and try to find a certain station? And you finally get it, just, I gotta notch it just a little bit, and you finally get it. That's how it is. Sometimes it's hard to hear the static in the air. You know what the static is? It's the demonic. How many of y'all know there's atmospheric demonic activity? Told that in Daniel 10, there's demons in the heavenlies. Down here in the earthlies, too, there's demons. And it takes praying through. It takes spiritual warfare to break through and kind of open a channel where you can get some frequency and hear the Holy Ghost. So I think the bottom line is it's really incumbent upon us to learn the voice and the language of the Holy Spirit and recognize He speaks many ways. I was actually privileged before I got saved to hear the audible voice of God out of the sky. I've actually heard His audible voice. It was around February of 71. I was born again about 6 months later. I was coming down off of an LSD trip. I was on the side of a hill. It was one of these freeway things, walking home from my friend's house early morning. And it happened in such a place, I've been back to it, where there was absolutely no house, woods, anything near it, anywhere. It was done, where it came right out of the sky, and it was seven words. Chris, you're my son, don't do this. Now, I know that was God. Because the devil would have said, baby, go get another hit. And you know what? I never did it again. When you hear an audible voice from the sky, in the early morning, on a hillside, and it's audible, very clear, you get the fear of God. And I will never forget the feeling of looking around and going, oh my God, oh my God. There was no human anywhere within probably a quarter mile. And I stood there just astounded that God spoke to me. And He called me His son. I wasn't even born again yet. You understand the theology of that? I don't. But you know, in His eyes, aren't we chosen in Him before the foundation of the world? And He always knew He had my heart. I just hadn't clinched the deal. He had my heart. But some of us, you know, I'm going to be honest with you folks, in all the years I've known the Lord, that is the only time I recall the audible voice. I've heard voices in my ear. Have y'all, I mean, where I can almost hear. Once I was in San Salvador, El Salvador, with Norman Parrish. There was a dynamic going on, and I actually heard a voice in my ear. And it was interesting. In a meeting we were at. Never heard it quite like that. It was His voice. Those are rarities, though. I really believe God speaks far more frequently on a daily basis in more mundane ways. Okay? It'd be kind of easy if you heard it audible every day, wouldn't it? Mike, take out the trash. Today's garbage day. Oh, yeah, Lord, thank you. I was forgetting. I was kind of going on. No. He kind of reserves the audible voice for more important issues. But do you know the Holy Ghost could say that? Amen? Somebody said, well, I never hear the voice of God. I said, oh, yes, you do. You ever heard a conviction? Amen? You ever heard of your conscience getting on you? Yeah. Hello? Where do you think He lives? He lives in the conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:24, He speaks through the conscience, the purified conscience. Amen? That's His voice. I've always had a very tender conscience, particularly when it comes to money, which is good since I'm in the business of money, helping people with their finances. I've always been managed money for this church. I've always been very, very conscientious because God gave me a tender conscience in that when I was a little kid. I'm scared to death of stealing. Hell's hot. Amen? That's a good fear to have. Some people don't have any fear of God when it comes to stealing. I fear for them. God taught me early when I was a kid, about 10 years old, I stole a piece of bubble gum from Morgan and Lindsay, Five and Dime, on Paris Avenue in New Orleans. I was about 10 years old. Piece of bubble gum in those days were big, man. It cost a penny. A penny went a long way in the 50s. Now I don't even bend over for them anymore. Amen. It's got to be at least a nickel. That night I couldn't sleep. The next morning I went there and I was too embarrassed to tell him I stole. When the clerk turned her head, I put a penny on the cash register. Paid my debt. And right there and then I said, that ain't worth it. Amen. Sometimes the voice of the Lord comes in just quickenings in your mind, clarification, where all of a sudden everything gets really clear. Just like a gust of wind blows through your mind and everything just kind of lines out. And all gets clear and you just have peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Kind of out of nowhere. Maybe you've been singing or talking to the Lord. Maybe it happens during a worship service. You kind of finally got your mind off yourself. A lot of us just walk around 90% of our day with our mind on ourselves. My problems, my this, my that, the way I'm being treated by so-and-so. Me, 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 me. It's the center of the universe. You can usually tell people like that because they're demonized and they live an up and down emotional roller coaster life. Because their focus is self. When your focus is the Lord, walking in the Spirit, guess what? The Holy Spirit will talk to you about yourself. Ironically, the thing is when you finally lose yourself, you find it. When you finally take your eyes off yourself, guess what? The Holy Ghost talks to you about yourself and solves yourself. And suddenly you have peace about yourself. As long as you stare at yourself, you never get anywhere. We used to talk about navel gazers. You ever hear that phrase, navel gazers? People just look at themselves. I'm so this and I feel that and I'm so... You know, I just like digging a... Trying to get out of a hole with a shovel. You get depressed and heavy and then voices come in your head and you're demonized and confused. And then you default to whatever your particular brand of addiction is. Right? Whatever you run and hide in, you're there. To hide from yourself. And all that is static, folks, that keeps the voice. Ironically, when you say, you know, in the name of Jesus, I would deny myself, take up the cross and worship Jesus and look to you, Jesus, and call on you, Jesus, and ask you, Jesus, to give me wisdom about this issue, and I lay it at your feet. It's your problem, not mine. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. Here, it's your problem, your deal, yours, Jesus. Then all of a sudden, if you wait on it, Holy Ghost will speak to you the very thing you've been wrangling and wrestling and pulling and fretting and depressed about, Holy Ghost will speak to you and set you free from it, and you're free. And you overcome. And the devil squished, the demons lose their ground, and you're walking in the Spirit. And out of your belly flows living water, and then, shortly thereafter, God sends someone to you that needs help from the very thing he just told you, and you're ministering what you just got. But a lot of people don't even have ministry, because they're so focused on themselves. They just never, barely get above water. But you know God is so good, he loves you even when you're there. Amen? A mama loves a baby when they poop on themselves just as much when they get their college degree. Amen? Now, I bet you there's a sense of release on mama as the one who's getting the college degree than there is when they smell the poopy diaper. Amen? But there's no difference of the love. Mama loves just as much, one as the other. God loves us just as much. Amen? But I do think there's a sense of release on the part of the Lord when he feels that we can spiritually walk and chew gum and he doesn't have to keep rescuing us out of our messes of our own doing. Amen? And he can give us the car keys. Trust us to walk across the street by looking both ways. and not be fools. Doesn't have to consign quite as many angels around us all the time. Amen? Use those angels for other things. He knows we're going to walk in righteousness. So how many of y'all want to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit clearer? To recognize the language of the Spirit. To see, to realize God speaks. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. In fact, let's look at Isaiah 30. Just one or two more verses about that. We'll just jump right in the middle and look at this. He says, this is a wonderful teaching. The whole chapter is talking about when you finally repent and get out of your self-will and get on the bus with Jesus. Get on the bus, Gus. But Isaiah 30, verse 20, verse 21. And your ears, look at this. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. That's walking in the Spirit. Your ears will hear the word behind you. He's speaking to you. He's telling you. You know, I really believe the fundamental issue is self-sufficiency. How sufficient are you in yourself? How reliant are you on your own? And how successful have you in your own self been in living and overcoming life? And if you're honest, not very successful at all. We cannot in and of our own self do anything. The greatest revelation is, I can of my own self do nothing, Christ said. In fact, Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing. And in John 15, he says, for without me, you can do nothing. In John 15, 5. He said, I can do nothing with my own self, and without me, you can do nothing. Do you really believe that? That you can do nothing. That everything you do is vain, vexation of the spirit, ego, self-centered, and demonic. Boy, that'll kick the pride. Amen? Everything you do, all the fruit of your life, all the behavior, everything you ever strive for, taught, believed, aspired to, influence others about all your life is folly and dust and will burn forever and has no fruit at all and value in the kingdom. That's why it's a narrow gate and few enter in. Right? It takes the humble. Recognize all that I am and is just dust and ashes. The only thing good about me is when I shut up and let the Holy Ghost speak to me and do what He says. And then I'm His voice, His hand, His life through me ministering to others. And the key, folks, is just hearing His voice. Just hear His voice. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He'll speak peace to His people and to His saints. So what I'd like us to do is this Friday night, tomorrow morning is Saturday. It's a good day to start. You know, Saturday is basically the Sabbath. Now, we're not under the law, praise God. But it's still, it was the seventh day when God rested. My belief of that is that, based upon Hebrews 4, every day we enter the rest of the Lord, and every day is the Sabbath. I don't live by the law. But I believe the revelation in Hebrews 4 is that we've entered into His rest, that we cease from our own works, and we walk in the Spirit. We literally walk in the Sabbath rest of the Spirit. So that no matter how much we work and endeavor, it's done from the Spirit, not the soul. Does that make sense? Actually, what I'm talking about today is walking in the Sabbath. I was talking to that pastor today. I came up with a cool sermon title. It popped in my mind. It's owning it, not earning it. Somebody's running around trying to earn favor from the Lord. You never get it. You know what it is? It's owning your deal. Own your deal. Own your sin. Own your pride. Own your self-striving. Own the fact that you're trying to curry favor of your own strength. Own it and humble yourself. And ask, repent, and repent. And guess what? You'll get it. But it's trying to earn, as long as you're earning it, you'll never get it. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. So starting tomorrow, what I'm going to encourage everybody to do is to put quiet in your quiet time. Okay? I would hope everyone is here, if you listen to my voice on the CD or the internet, and if you don't have a quiet time every day, then you're missing the key to a day. The key to every day is to start quiet with the Lord. Start. Seek the Lord. The Bible said, they that seek me early shall find me, the Lord said. Did you know that? Proverbs? He doesn't say they that seek me right before they go to bed. That never quite works. Well, I got my quiet time right before I go to bed. Yeah, like you're really going to be alert. Christ got up early in the morning, long before the sun rose. Do a Bible study of how many, all the way back to Adam and Eve, who walked in the cool of the day. God dropped the manna, not in the afternoon. When did he drop the manna? And what happened once the sun came up? It melted in the grass. Bible says the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. I thought one day, you want healing? Get up and catch the early sunrise. Amen? As David Hogan says, he said once, he says, I have a race every day with the sun. Which one of us is going to get up first? Have a quiet time with the Lord. What I do with my quiet time every day, I start out talking to Jesus about stuff that's bugging me. That's what I do. That's the way I start. Or stuff that concerns me. Usually about certain people in the church or situations, maybe in my business, or whatever's going on that's kind of on my heart. I talk to him about Jesus. That's how I start. You know why? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that, and what? First thing is, lay your burdens down. I always start with, this is bugging me, Jesus. I'll put your feet. Because it's really hard to get any further if I don't deal with that. Amen? So I'm always talking to him. Sometimes I have to sing in the spirit a little bit, kind of like when we get together as a group. We sing in tongues a few minutes, or sing songs, hymns, songs. That helps. But then when we get still, that's the first thing I'm usually telling the Lord. Lord, and that takes sometimes for a little bit longer than others. And I get past that. But I stay there until I know that he's got it and I ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? I put it at his feet. That's step one of the quiet time. Lay my burdens down. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Remember that verse? He shall sustain you. Cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Praise God. I tell you, folks, that is the greatest treasure of a Christian, is to have a place to put your stuff. How many people you know carry it all day? All day long, they carry their worry. Bo, didn't you teach your recently about worry? Well, I wouldn't hear. You know what? I remember my mama used to worry. And she got filled with the Holy Ghost. She still worried, but she worried less. Because she wasn't in the environment of the Holy Ghost people. But I remember I lived around worry people. People that worried. You know what? Worrying is torment. Fear hath torment. I hate to worry. Worry about what? Worry implies somebody's not in control, doesn't it? Worry implies there's fatalism out there. Something's not on. I believe God's in control. So that's the first thing. Second thing I've learned is then I bring my petitions to him. Okay? Whatever it is I've been asking him about. Something I've been asking the Lord about for about 6 months is, Lord, please, in your mercy, whatever it takes, however long it takes, bring a fresh healing anointing in our ministry. Healing anointing in my life. Do whatever it takes. Remember some months ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to us? He wanted to balance us. I just pray that all the time. Hadn't seen a lot of movement. But I've walked with him long enough to know that don't mean nothing. You can pray for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, so. Amen? Has nothing to do with how long. Has to do with when he's ready. I just hard-headed. I just start locking in. I'm just praying and bugging him, bugging him, bugging him, bugging him. I just lock in on something. I'm not going to stop until he says don't. Makes it real clear. And usually after I've kind of laid my burdens down and then made petitions to him that things, and a lot of times when I'm praying then, I'm usually praying about the sermons I have coming up that week or what I have to do that day at work. I always, a lot of times at that point, pull out my PDA and literally pray over what I got to do. Got to see a client that day. I'll pray about my client, pray for my client. Maybe I got to see somebody at the church. Usually lately, it's I have a lot of clients. I mean, I have a problem. I have more clients than I have time. It's an amazing problem I have. I'm serious. It's amazing. Probably have potentially 200 clients, potentially. I've been asked to kind of clear out a whole file cabinet to research these clients. And it's, I don't have the time for them all. So, but when I do run into them, there's problems because you're dealing with people. How many of you know you when you deal with people, there's problems? And people are squirrely. So I found myself praying for squirrely people, man. Just jack me around and this and that all the time. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. And I'm getting better at it. I really am. People just really stand you up and do this and pull that and say that. And I'm finding myself praying about those people. Praying for them. Pray for them. Pray for wisdom on how to help them, how to deal with them. I'm grateful for them. I realized the other day as another gentleman in my office said, I am sitting in more living rooms of heathen than most pastors with my job, which is a blessing. Then at that point, that's when I usually here's the bottom line, having laid my burden down and made my petitions up, then I usually decide, okay, it's time to get still. Does that make sense? I laid my burdens down, I set my petitions up, the day's cleared out. I prayed about the whole day. You know, all the stuff. Put it before his feet. Now it's time to shut up. Just listen. This is what we forget. Because he might have something to say about something I've talked to him about. So I'm learning just, okay, I'll just get still. And listen. And you want to know the truth? The majority of the time, I don't hear anything. I mean, honestly, the majority of the time, I just get still. I hear peace. I feel peace. And it's really nice because I know I've given it all to him. It's going to be a good day. I've already given it to him. Oh, even if I slip and slide a little bit, he'll pick me up. Amen? But most of the time, I'm at peace. But once in a while, this is really cool. When you get still, there's something really clear comes out like right out of the light into your head, into your heart. Like a flower open up. You go, oh my gosh, there's the answer. There's the revelation. That's what I need to do. That's who I need to call. That's how I need to handle that. That's what I need to say to so-and-so. A lot of times at that time, I'll pull my PDA out because I don't trust that I'm going to remember it. So I'll write it down. Amen? A lot of times I get sermons. Particularly if it's like Wednesday or Thursday and I hadn't gotten nothing yet. That's been one of those weeks. Do you know I've been teaching next month will be 25 years I've taught every week. That's amazing. So for 25 years, every week I've had to prepare a word. And for the last many, many years, at least twice a week. So I'm going to tell you, there's many a week I ain't got no fresh bread. You know, the closet's full of bread. It's all stale. So I got to get in that inner room there and hear. And that's usually when it begins to unfold. And I'll pull out my thing and write it down. Does that make sense? I'm sharing with you guys what I do in a quiet time in hopes that you will understand. That's what it's all about, is to hear his voice. Because he's got daily bread for you. Give us this day our daily bread. Tomorrow, the Holy Ghost is not going to tell you tonight what you need for tomorrow. Why? The manna will fall before dawn. You got it? You got to get up tomorrow morning worship him in tongues, preferably. And if you don't sing in tongues, then mumble. Do something. Hum. Get in the spirit. I think it's easy to pray in the spirit to get in the spirit. And download your problems, upload your petitions, and then get still. And listen. And I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. What's the folly? Unbelief. That what I just heard wasn't him. Oh, is that really him? Oh, that's not him. You know what? I've asked when I found that when I ask my father for a fish, he doesn't give me a stone. When I ask him for a loaf of bread, he doesn't give me a scorpion. And if your earthly fathers gave good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Can you hear an amen? You can depend on it. If you ask him in humility, whatever you ask, you shall receive from the Lord. He's faithful, and he loves you. And tomorrow is a brand new day, a fresh day to get up and humble yourself before the Lord. One last verse before we conclude. The last verse. It's the last, second to last and the last verse of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. I love this. Good way to conclude. Proverbs 8, 34. You there? This is a wonderful verse. Proverbs 8, 34. It says, blessed is the man, listen to this, that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and I love this, and will obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. And they that hate me love death. There's your choice. There's nothing greater than the favor of the Lord. And I think every day the favor of the Lord can be acquired by coming into his presence. Can you amen? Jesus. Let's pray, guys. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus. Say this after me. Jesus, teach me to be simple and childlike in my relationship with God. I'll come to you every day, needy and desperate, first thing of the day. I'll lay my burdens at your feet. I tell you about all the things I need, I want, and I require for my life and ministry. Teach me, Jesus, to enter into the inner sanctum, the holy place, the holy of holies, where I can be still and know that you are God. I pray that you'd open my ears to hear and to discern the word of the Holy Ghost, where you give me every day the bread for the day. Forgive me for living in tomorrow or regretting the past. Every day is sufficient. Help me live one day at a time as your faithful servant, walking in humility. Set me free from myself, Jesus. Lord, I bless you tonight. I just pray protection over us now as we go our way, Lord. Help us take this simple word to heart and walk it out and bear good fruit in our lives. And everybody said, God bless you.